Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe.
Yes, see his banner go. Well, shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. I'm Pastor Steve, and this is Word for Word for Wednesday, November the 9th, 2016. This is pre-recorded, and I don't know who won the election, but Yahweh has it well in hand, and he's going to deal with any situation as he sees fit for his glory. Even if it's bad, it's going to turn out good for us in the end, those that are faithful. And we are in the book of Judges, chapter 3 today, and we're going to speak about some stuff like that. Israel started to sin after Yeshua and all the old folks died. So Yahweh is going to test them as we are being tested today. There we go. Had to get rid of a frog here. I got a nice big thing of iced tea. Wet the old whistle here, and I record late at night because everything is settled down around here and there's no noise. So let's get right into the book of Judges at Shofatim, chapter 3, verse 1. Now, these are the nations which Yahweh left to test Israel by them. Okay, he's gonna test them. All those that had not known the wars of Canaan, the land of Canaan. He's going to be testing those that are now going astray. He's going to try them by fire. Verse 2, only that the generations of the children might know to teach, 3925, them war, 4421, at least those that before knew nothing of it. They had to be prepared in those times as we have to be prepared in these times. So there's an analogy between then and now. Verse 3. Five lords, that's 5633, of the Pelishti, okay, 6430. And 5633 is Seren. And it's in a sense of tyrant, as a domineering tyrant, five tyrants of the Pelishti. All the Canaani, that's the Canaanites, 3669, the Sidoni, that's the Sidonians, 6722, the Kiwi, that's the Hivites, that dwelt in Mount Lebanon, 3844, from Mount Baal, Hermon, 1179, to the entrance into Hamath, 2574. So there were still there were Hivites. Verse 4, and they were to test Israel by them to know whether they would listen to the commandments of Yahweh, which he commanded their forefathers by the hand of Moshe. They were going to get a dose of what their forefathers had. They had to fight these people. And they had a hard time. Verse 5. And the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanite, the Chitti, that's the Hittites, the Amori, those are the Amorites, Perizi, those are the Perizzites, Kiwi, those are the Hivites, and Yabusi, the Jebusites. Okay. They did not complete the commission to wipe them out. So they were now going to have to fight them. And it was going to be a test, as we are being tested now. And that is exactly what's going on. We are being tested to see if we are going to keep the faith. That is precisely what is going on today. And we look at all the elections and the problems and oh this and oh that and wonk, wonk, wonk. And this is all because we're going to churches on Sunday. We're going to mixed race churches. We got homosexuals. We don't do anything about that. We got false gods. We don't do anything about that. We're just not, you know, we're trying to get along with these people that we have been commanded not to get along with. Here you go. This pertains to today. Verse 6 of chapter 3. And they took their daughters to be their wives, and gave their daughters to their sons, and served their Elohim. And then verse 3:6, you can reference Exodus 34, verses 15 and 16. That's race mixing and idolatry. And we've got Judaism, Talmudism, being taught in our Judeo-Christian churches today, serving false gods. A Jewish Jesus, which he is not. And you see all the race-mixed couples in the churches, and homosexuals, and whatever. Well, here is the first judge, leader, deliverer of Israel. And his name is Othniel. And you can reference him in Joshua chapter 15, verse 17. This is verse 7 of chapter 3 of Judges. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of Yahweh, and forgot Yahweh their Elohim, and served Baalim. The Baals, they were local weather gods, primarily. And the Asherah poles, 842. Asherah was a fertility goddess and had several names. Ashtaroth, Ishtar, from where we get the Easter Sunday. That's a celebration of fertility. With a big sex orgy, okay? That's where that comes from. It's not the resurrection day of Yeshua. That would be the day after Passover. Or the couple of days after Passover, pardon me. I'm getting two trains of thought going here. The trains have collided. Had a train wreck. Verse 8. Therefore the anger of Yahweh was kindled against Israel, and he sold them for 3.76. That's basically gave into their power, and it's usually followed by number 3.027, hand as a symbol of power. And he sold them into the hand, 3.027, of Cushan Rishathaim, 3.573, king of Aram Naharaim, 7.63, which today is known as Mesopotamia. And the children of Israel served Cushan Rishathaim 8 years. And when the children of Israel cried to Yahweh, Yahweh raised up a deliverer to the children of Israel who delivered them. Othniel, 6.274, the son of Kenaz, 7.073, Caleb's younger brother. Verse 10. And the Spirit of Yahweh came upon him, and he led Israel. There was a leader, and went forth to war. And Yahweh gave Cushan Rishathaim, king of Aram Naharaim, into his hand. Pardon me for a second. It gets away from me every once in a while. These words are real tongue twisters. And he gave Cushan Rishathaim, king of Aram Naharaim, into his hand, into his power, okay? And his hand prevailed against Cushan Rishathaim. His power prevailed against him. He was stronger. Verse 11. And the land had peace, 8252, 40 years, and Othniel, the son of Kenaz, died. Okay, first judge. They cried out to Yahweh when it got bad. They didn't cry out to Yahweh in praise when times were good, but let times get bad, and then they cry out to Yahweh. Well, don't we do the same thing today? When things are going good, we just don't think about religious stuff. We're thinking about house payments and SUV payments and football games and nonsense. We don't think about our divine creator and his redeemer that he sent for us. He goes on the back burner. But you let things get bad, and oh boy, we're right there. But true Israel praises Yahweh all the time. Even when times are good, we don't forget him. And that's what I'm trying to get you to do. Think about him all the time, because he is in charge, and we are not. And we need to remember that. And all this trouble that we've got right now, Yahweh's got his hand on it. He is going to take care of it according to his will, not ours. Not ours, because we always foul things up. That's why we're in the state we're in now, because we've made constant, unending mistakes. And, oh, we'll praise Yahweh for a little while, and then the next generation comes in and they just go to hell. Well, this has been going on since these days that I'm talking about in this book, all the way up to now. We haven't changed all that much, really. We still have the same bad habits. All right, now we come to the second judge, Ehud. And this is chapter 3, verse 12. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of Yahweh. And Yahweh made strong, 2388, that's strengthened, Eglon, 5700, the king of Moab, 4124. They didn't wipe out all the Moabites yet, and they were back to plague them against Israel because they had done evil in the sight of Yahweh. So he was going to use Moab to punish them and some others. Verse 13. And he gathered to him the children of Ammon, those are the Ammonites, and Amalekites, and went and smote Israel and possessed the city of palm trees. 8588, that's Tamar, Ir Tamar. That's palm tree. That's what Tamar means. The one that tricked Yehuda into having sex with her, that was Tamar, and then she bore Peretz and Zarok, the only pure-blooded Judahites. And her name was Tamar, and that means palm tree. Verse 14, so the children of Israel served Eglon, the king of Moab, 18 years. Verse 15. But when the children of Israel cried to Yahweh, there we go again. Well, Yahweh, oh, while we're in trouble, oh, we remember you now. Instead of praising him every day. But when the children of Israel cried to Yahweh, Yahweh raised up a deliverer, Ehud. That's 261, and that means united. The son of Gera, 1617. A son of Binyamin. He was a Benjaminite. Now here's a Hebrew idiom coming up. A man bound of right hand. That's 334-3027-3225. Now, all of that, three words, means he was left-handed. All of that to say left-handed, okay? That's what that means. Bound of right hand. He was left-handed. And by him, the children of Israel sent a present to Eglon, the king of Moab. He was going to take a present to the king of Moab. Verse 16 of chapter 3. But Ehud made a dagger, 2719, which had two edges, double-edged dagger. Ooh, wicked. Of a cubit in length, 1574. That's 18 inches, more or less. That's a big knife. And he girded it on under his raiment, 4055, upon his right thigh, 3409. He had it on under his clothing, a hidden knife. Verse 17, and he brought the present to Eglon, king of Moab, and Eglon was a very fat man, 1277. Verse 18, and when he had completed offering the present, he sent away the people that carried the present. In other words, he was the leader of the group that brought this big present to the king of Moab. And he sent the guys that carried it out. Verse 19. But he returned from Pesalim, 6456, that was by Gilgal. That's idols, is what Pesalim means, plural. But here it's a location. If it was used of objects, it would mean idols. But they called this location Pesalim. Okay, used it as a name for a location. And said, I have a secret message. That's 5643, secret, and 1697, message, for you, O King. Who then said, keep silence. And all that stood by him went forth from him. He had his entourage there, his court people, advisors, and people that fanned him if he got hot, and some little babe that was feeding him grapes, or whatever that he had around him. You know how it was. Verse 20. And Ehud came to him, and he was sitting in a cool 4747 roof chamber, 5944, which was his alone. It was a private room up on the roof, probably with lattice walls, so a breeze would come through. And he would be in the shade and be cool. And Ehud said, I have a message from Elohim to you. And he arose from upon his seat, speaking of Eglon. And Ehud put forth his left hand, because he was left-handed, that's 80-40 left, and took the dagger from his right thigh. He reached in, and he had it strapped on so he could reach in between his legs and grab it. And thrust it into, that's one word, 8628, his belly, 990, speaking of Eglon's belly. Verse 22, and the handle, 5325, also went in after the blade. This guy was a pig. He was fat. And the fat closed behind the blade so that he could not draw out, 8025, the dagger from his belly. And the feces, 6574, came forth. In other words, he soiled himself. That happens a lot when a person dies a violent death, that everything will release. Well, that's what happened. Verse 23. Then Ehud went forth through the porch, 4528, and shut, 5462, the doors of the roof chamber behind him and locked them. 5274. When he had gone forth, the servants came, and when they saw that, behold, the doors of the roof chamber were locked, they said, surely he covers his feet, 5526 covers his feet, 7272, in his cool chamber, 2315. This is a Hebrew idiom for relieving oneself. Okay? Verse 25. And they waited, 2342, until they were ashamed. I said, well, we really need to check on the king. And behold, He did not open the doors of the roof chamber. Of course he didn't. He was dead. Therefore they took a key and opened them, and behold, their Lord was fallen down dead on the ground. And Lord is Adon, that is 113. That means their master or their Lord. He was the king. Verse 26. And Ehud escaped while they waited. They were waiting for the guy to come out. Well, he didn't come out. He was dead. And passed beyond Pisidium. That's out of the place we mentioned. And escaped to Seirah, 8167. Verse 27. And it came to pass, when he came, he blew, 8628, a shofar, 7782. That's a ram's horn trumpet with a very distinctive sound used for war, in the mountain of Ephraim. And the children of Israel went down with him from the mountain, and he before him, before them. In other words, he mustered the troops of Israel. That was a call to battle. They had certain signals that they sounded. And a shofar is very loud and carries a long way, very distinctive sound, as opposed to a metal horn. It has a resonance that is not matched by anything else. Verse 28, and he said to them, follow after me, because Yahweh has given you your hated enemies of Moab into your hand. And they went down after him, in other words, they followed him, and captured the fords 4, 5, 6, 9 of the Jordan, that's the Jordan River, by Moab, and allowed no man to pass over. Verse 29, and they slew of Moab at that time about 10,000 men, all robust, 8082, and all men of valor, 2428, and not a man escaped, 4422. In other words, these were real warriors. They didn't fight the wimpy dudes. They fought the bad boys. Well, all right. Verse 30. So Moab was subdued, 3665, that day under the hand of Israel, and the land had peace 8084 years. Now here's the third judge, and it's just a one verse deal. Verse 31, and after him was Shamgar, 8044, the son of Anath, 6067, who slew 600 men of the Pelishti, those are the Philistines, with an ox goad. Ox is 1241, and goad is 4451. And he also delivered Israel. So evidently they were having trouble with the Philistines. And an ox goad was a great big stick, because oxen are huge, and you poked them with it. Well, he had this great big strong stout stick, and he just beat the heads of 600 men in with it. He just fought them and just clobbered them. Okay, now we go into chapter 4 of the book of Judges, continuing on with the judges that are listed. And this is the fourth judge. Let me get a hit of tea here. This is a woman, Deborah. chapter 1 of verse 4 of the book of Judges. And the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of Yahweh when Ehud was dead. Repeating the pattern. Verse 2, and Yahweh sold them into the hand of Yabin, 2985, king of Canaan, that reigned in Kotzor, 2674, whose army commander was Sisera, 5516, who dwelled in Karosheth Hagoyim. All right? Karosheth of the nations, not of the Gentiles. All right, there's no such word as Gentiles. That's a manufactured word that was stuck in. It's not in the scripture. Verse 3. And the children of Israel cried to Yahweh again, because he had 900 chariots of iron, and for 20 years he forcefully, 2394, oppressed, 3905, the children of Israel. Verse 4. And Deborah, 1683, a woman of prophecy, 5031, the wife of Lapidoth, 3941, she led, 8199, Israel at that time, judged, okay? She was a prophetess, and they listened to her, okay? Very important woman. Verse 5, and she sat, 3427, under the palm, 8560, of Deborah. They named a palm tree named for her. Between Ramah and Bethel in Mount Ephraim, and the children of Israel came up to her for decisions. 4941, Mishpat. And it has multiple uses, okay? Verse 6, and she sent and called for Barak, 1301, the son of Abinoam, 42, from Kadesh Naphtali, and said to him, has not Yahweh, Elohim of Israel, commanded, go and draw off toward Mount Tabor, and take with you 10,000 from the children of Naphtali, and from the children of Zebulun? I will draw off to you 7028. Sisera, the commander of Yabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude, and I will give him into your hand. All right, now Barak, 1301, means lightning strike in Hebrew. Same as Barack Obama. Sorry about that. Abinoam, his father, number 42, means my father is delight. Verse 8 of chapter 4, and Barak said to her, if you will go with me, then I will go, but if you will not go with me, I will not go. He wanted the prophetess who could speak to Yahweh with him. Verse 9, and she said, I will surely go with you. However, the journey that you go on shall not be for your glory. 8597, and in other words, you're not going to have anything to do with the coming victory. because Yahweh shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. And Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh. Verse 10. And Barak called out to 199, Zebulun and Naphtali, those are the tribes, to Kadesh. And he went up with 10,000 men on foot. And Deborah went up with him. All right, verse 11, a new twist to the story. Now, Heber 2268, the Cani 7014, that's a Kenite, and that's a tribe akin to the Midianites, of the children of Hobab 2246, the father-in-law of Moshe, had separated himself, 6504, from the Canaim, 7017, that's the plural of 7014, and stretched out, 5186, his tent on the plain of Sha'ananim, 6815, which is by Kadesh. And you can reference Joshua chapter 19, verse 33 on that. Well, Deborah's leading these people, and Sisera, who was just evidently a horrible man, is going to get scragged by a woman. Verse 12 of chapter 4. And they told Sisera that Barak, the son of Abinoam, had gone up to Mount Tabor. Verse 13. And Sisera called together all his chariots, 900 chariots of iron, and all the people that were with him from Karasheth Hagoyim to the Wadi of Kishon. That was the river valley of Kishon. Verse 14, and Deborah said to Barak, rise up, because this is the day which Yahweh has given Sisera into your hand. Is not Yahweh gone forth before you? So Barak went forth from Mount Tabor and 10,000 men after him. Verse 15, and Yahweh discomfited 2,000 Sisera. 2,000 is hamam, and it means confused. And Yahweh discomfited Sisera and all his chariots and all his army with the edge of the sword before Barak, so that Sisera went forth from upon his chariot and fled away, 5127, on his feet. In other words, all the chariots got all tangled up, and he jumped down from the chariot and ran. Verse 16, but Barak pursued after the chariots and after the army unto Karasheth Hagoyim, and all the army of Sisera fell upon the edge of the sword. No man was left. 7604, that means left as a survivor. Verse 17. Sisera, however, fled away on foot to the tent of Yael, 3278, the wife of Keber the Cani, because there was peace between Yabin, the king of Chazor, and the house of Keber the Cani. They weren't at war with them. Verse 18. And Yael went forth to meet Sisera and said to him, turn in, that's 5493, Turn in here, my Lord. Turn in to me. Do not fear. And when he had turned into her, into the tent, she covered him with a mantle. 806:3. And he said to her, give me, please, a little water to drink, because I am thirsty. And she gave, and she opened a skin bottle, 4997, of milk, 2461, and gave him drink and covered him with that mantle. That's a garment. Again he said to her, stand in the door of the tent, and it shall be if any man comes and inquires of you and says, is there any man here, that you shall say, there is not. Verse 21. Then Yael, Heber's wife, took a peg, 3489, of the tent. That's a tent stake. Sharp on pointed, you know, and took 7760, that's literally to put, a hammer, 4718, that's Machabeth, in her hand, and went secretly, 3814, to him. He was down sleeping. And drove, 8628, the peg into his temple, 7541. And it descended, 6795, into the ground, as he was asleep, 7290, and weary, 5774, so he died. All right, in Strong's Concordance, this word is misnumbered as 7451 instead of 7541. They have the numbers transposed. They made a mistake. So if you look it up in Strong's into the temples, it'll give the wrong number. You have to look up 7541, not 7451, because 7451 means evil. And the reason she did that with the temples, that's the thinnest part of the skull. And he was evidently laying on his side, and she drove that sharp tent peg through his temples into the ground. Bang, bang, bang. And that was it for this oppressive general. Verse 22, and behold, as Barak pursued Sisera, Yael came forth to meet him and said to him, come, I will show you the man you seek. And when he entered in, behold, Sisera lay dead, and the peg was in his temples. Now remember when Deborah said he's going to be subdued by a woman? Well, Yael was the woman. She was a prophetess, and she told what was going to happen. Yahweh revealed the fate of Sisera to her. Verse 23. So Elohim subdued, 3665, on that day, Yabin, the king of Canaan, before the children of Israel. Verse 24, and the hand of the children of Israel followed, 1980, that's literally walked, and followed harshly, 7186, against Jabin, the king of Canaan. In other words, they really put it on him. The life was not fun anymore. And that was the end of Sisera. Now, we're going to start in on chapter 5 and 6 tomorrow on Thursday. But I want to comment on the pattern that has developed that is the same as what we are doing today. And this is unpleasant, and I really don't mean to get on people, but it's got to be discussed. That's what this show is about. It's about Scripture and how it applies to us today. We have to learn from what they did back then, or what we did, let's put it that way, back then. Because we are Israel. We are the descendants of these people that we're speaking of here. And they did not stay steady with Yahweh when their great leaders were gone. They fell back into the old pattern of, if it feels good, do it. Just let's just, you know, Yahweh's not watching, let's just do what we want. Bad idea. Well, we're doing the same thing here today in these churches. And in our lives, out in society, our society is very corrupted. If you're listening to this show, you pretty much know it. We get some new people here. I try to reach the new people. But mostly I preach to the choir, because I impart a lot of information here that you're not going to find in most of your books. Because I have assembled all this information over a great many years. And the Bible really is pretty cool if you have all the stuff to explain it. They have mistranslated and have made a lot of parts of the Bible very boring and dry. But really, it is a historical thing backed up by the action of the persons involved in the history. All this begotten and begotten and all that stuff, you needed to know who was coming up so you could relate to who they were and where we as a people of Israel come from. We need to know our history, and those that don't study history are condemned to repeat it. And a lot of our people today don't know our own history. They have been fed all this garbage in the public school system. And we are repeating the mistakes that our people, Israel, made in the past. This is not good. And I have to call attention to it, but I try to do it in an interesting manner. So you will learn. And you can clearly see the analogy between then and now. Solomon said in his Proverbs, there's nothing new under the sun. We just keep doing the same thing over and over and over. And we always have. We always have. Same way with the modus operandi of our enemy. They have developed a pattern that is successful for them on how to oppress and destroy us, and they have kept at it. They are very persistent, if nothing else. They are not good. I'm not trying to say they're good. I'm not trying to say they're brilliant. They are cunning, as a stalking animal is cunning. He knows his way around the woods. Well, their financial empire is their woods, and they are very cunning beasts. They are not Adamites. They are beasts of the earth, but they are wicked ones. They have the seed of the devil in them. As Yeshua Messiah, the Christ, said, you are of your father the devil, and your father's works you do. Well, that's exactly, precisely what they do. And we're in a constant, never-ending war with these creatures. We are today, and it's getting very, very bad out there. We're in the time of Jacob's trouble. And this precedes the full tribulation. And I keep exhorting people to prepare. Prepare. Dedicate a big closet in your house to survival stuff. And if it doesn't happen soon, it's not going to hurt anything. You can use the stuff and replace it with newer stuff. But if you have it and don't need it, it doesn't hurt you. But if you need it and don't have it, it will. And you're going to need food and water and medical stuff and bandages and headache tablets and whatever. Things to help to keep your family alive and well, healthy. The main thing you need to do, the premier act that you must perform, is preparing your family spiritually for what's coming. And you need to teach your children who they are, that they are not Gentiles, and the Jews are not God's chosen people, that they are little Israelites, and they are the chosen of Yahweh, and that we have been disobedient, and we're being punished, but the faithful that are coming back, that would be your family, will be blessed and protected in the time that's coming, and you need to make your children aware of what's going on in the world around them. You cannot be bashful and fearful. You must inform your children. They cannot behave properly and survive if you, as the head of an Israelite family, do not teach them. That is your responsibility. You owe them that. If you have dear friends, try to witness to them and be gentle. Don't try to scare them and run them off or trying to be dictatorial. You cannot do that. That runs people off. They don't like that. They don't like to be yelled at. But show them a piece at a time and wake them up. Hey, somebody woke us up. Yahweh worked through them to bless us. Yahweh wants to work through you to bless others. Pass it on. This knowledge that we have, that the preachers on EFR are trying to impart, is a blessing. It is a gift from Yahweh to you to wake you up. It says in the scripture, my people perish for lack of knowledge. Where we're trying to teach knowledge. I do Torah and the prophets. I do all, the whole Old Testament, okay? That's my specialty. It does not mean I am ignorant of the New Testament. I reference it constantly. And I reference how the Old Testament is quoted in the New Testament. Because they didn't have a New Testament then. Yeshua quoted the Torah all the time, and the prophets, and the writings. Because Yahweh, through the Holy Spirit, gave these words to his chosen men that he used as servants. It's still going on today. I am not a prophet. I don't claim to prophesy, but I can look around me, I'm not blind, and I see what's going on in today's society, and I know enough about the Old Testament to point out where it went on before. And the solutions to it. We as a people are not alone as men going to be able to fight the enemy. We will never be able to defeat these creatures without the direct intervention of Yahweh. We never have been able to do that. Every time we defeated the enemy in the Old Testament, Yahweh's hand was in it. Because we are disobedient or something, we did something wrong, and he turned his back and walked away and wouldn't help us, we got whooped. We're still Israel. He still loves us. He will fight for those that are his remnant. I do not think he is going to help those that are not his. That is my personal opinion on the matter. That is not a prophecy or written in the scripture. That's just how I feel, because I see in the Old Testament that he never helped those of Israel that had turned their back on him. You see that here. He sold them into the hand of, quote unquote, turn them over for punishment. Well, we're in dispersion, and we have the remnant of all these Canaanites that we never slew. And we were told very clearly that they would be a thorn in our side and pricks in our eyes. And they are. And a lot of our people are in denial of that fact. They are willfully blind. They don't want to see it. It would upset their little apple cart. I can't help that. What we want to be and what is, quite often, are two entirely different things. There was this gigantic two-letter word in all the scripture back then, if. If you obey, and if you follow my commandments, and if you do this and this and this, then I will do this and this and this for you. But if you do not, then I will do this and this and this and this. We're right now in the but if section. But there is a remnant that has come out, and the remnant is gathering. We are gathering. The tribes of Israel are waking up. We are trying to wake them up here at EFR. We are doing our very level best to impart knowledge to our brethren, which is you. I'm not speaking to anybody that's not of Israel. They can listen. But it's not about them. Never has been. It's about us of true, pure-blooded Israelite descent. Well, I'll be back tomorrow with Judges chapters 5 and 6, and we're going to go on with these judges for quite some time in this book. So I will say, Yahweh bless and keep you. And may peace be with you. That is Shalom Aleichem in Hebrew, which is our language, not the language of the Jews. They speak a bastard tongue called Yiddish. And even when they try to speak real Hebrew, they can't quite get it right. So Yahweh bless and keep you, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to